Blog Talk Radio.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows a turkey and some mistletoe help to make the season bright. Tiny tots with their eyes all aglow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa's on his way. He's loaded lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really know how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. Simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you.
Sound. Oh, there it is. It's coming up now. What happened? I don't know. Yes, this is the 5 days before Christmas. 5 days, 4 days in a wake-up, as we used to say in the military when we're in Vietnam. You got nothing. How come you got nothing?
How are you, sir?
All righty. How come you got nothing? You got nothing now still? Why? How come?
It's just the Christmas spirit.
It's the Christmas spirit, huh? Well, I'm up. Let me hear you talk. Talk, speak.
Hey, how are you, sir? We have some heavy traffic.
Yeah, I hear you.
Had to get over here.
Hear you fine. I hear you fine.
That's fine, then.
Yeah.
Well,
so?
It is that time of year.
What's the time of year? What is the time of year?
The war on Fox News.
The war on Fox News.
I thought it was kind of funny that. I think it's kind of funny that they have been going crazy about the latest conservative snafu on.
Well, listen,
dynasty.
Before we even get to that, can't we just talk about how nice this is going to be?
Oh,
it
is.
I mean, come on. Gee, there we are.
Happy, happy, merry, merry.
See,
there's a giant tree right in our studio.
Yeah, but the tree's not. It's not all lit up yet. It's not that. It's bare. My back was killing, my hands were killing me last week. I had my lawnmower put up. I got 3,000 lights outside right now. See, and the one tree over there is just like a Christmas tree with a star on it.
Well, that's 3,000 lights. You think that's enough?
What?
Enough?
Is that better? Is that higher? Better?
That's a little bit better. Yes. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I can actually hear some.
This year, I told him at the end of last year that I wanted to shape the two tall trees, which are about 15, I think they're 15 or 17 feet. I wanted them to be shaped like Christmas trees because I wanted to choose one of them for a Christmas tree.
Right.
So I was going to do the end one, and I said, no, the Christmas tree shouldn't be in the end. The Christmas tree should be in the middle. So I got the middle one, and the star I got, I was looking at a star that was, I said, man, that thing is big for an airport. I said, that's no good. So I got this medium-sized one, and I looked at it, and now I got it up there, and I should have got the big one. Anyway, but it looks good. So we had to push the star a little forward instead of in the top center. But it looks good.
Well,
lit up at night,
fine.
It looks great. All the bushes this year are decorated.
It doesn't have to be the size of, the North Pole.
It looked good. It looked good. This is the first time that all the bushes are lit up. Normally I have about 3/4. Now all of them, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, about 10 of them. Plus the front. So it looks good. But anyway, we have a great show because we are going to be, there are going to be people calling in with their top three picks of things that happen in the city, the state, nationally and internationally this year.
Oh, really? All those things. Ooh, Lord.
And,
this has been a busy year, I have to say.
It's been a busy year. You got the president. I was listening to him for the last 20 minutes on the air, and he's doing his press conference, and I end the year press conference. But we have, we're going to have a couple of people calling in, and it should be quite an event. And I tell you what, Christmas and my birthday are the best times of the year. In that order. Christmas and my birthday. I don't remember ever having a bad Christmas.
No.
Growing up as a kid.
Neither did I. You know,
and,
my mother was a school teacher, you know that. So she loved all the holidays.
What happened to you?
But she went, you know, what happened to me? But she would celebrate big time. So we had to decorate the whole house.
Oh, yeah.
Decorate her whole school room. She always
Absolutely.
Had all these, the silly sweaters and the
brooches
and the
earrings
that jingled and jingled and all this. She had everything for every holiday to entertain the kids, but she also just loved it. So I have this, huge love of Christmas and decorating and going over the top and singing silly songs and all that stuff.
Well,
it's a fun time of year.
I have Christmas bulbs that my father had before I was born. I think they're about 70 years old. Glass bulbs, still wrapped in the same tissue paper that he had.
Well, you know, you can tell that they are 70 years old because they still work.
Oh, no, they don't light up. These are glass
bulbs. The, you're talking about the...
the glass...
Ornaments.
Ornaments, they should be right.
I was supposed to say, because we have... Now, my grandparents had a frosted...
Oh, yes.
Lights.
Yeah, frosted lights. I remember them,
and
I have some of them. But you see, you can't use them with these trees because they take up too much light.
Yeah,
and they burn out the whole.
Everything goes up. But the thing was, these lights we get nowadays. You know, you go to Walmart, Target, or wherever you want to go, and you buy these, 5 million lights for a buck or whatever. They last for one season if you're lucky.
Well.
And then they start breaking and dying.
I took care of that this year.
Uh-oh.
I went out and bought a gun.
Guns are always good.
These are always good. Just ask any NRA. Just ask that fool from the. Oh, I can't say. I hope. I'm glad the show's going off the air. Blue Buds. Anyway, this gun is a special gun. It's almost like a Star Trek early flash.
I would err on the side of Elvin.
But,
Elvin.
Hey, how about that? Not that. Hey, this gun.
What does this
mean? Is for? It has two things. You know when you have a bulb, you want to test your bulbs.
Yes.
You stick it right in there,
and
it will light up. You
awesome.
Press the button, and if the bulb lights up, the bulb is good.
Sure.
Now, you take the bulb where you took it out of, you can stick the socket in there and sell the socket.
Oh,
then you could also just take the flash like this. You put on the flash, and you point it right at the section of the top of the bulb next to you. You plug in the lights, and the first bulb, you point this at the first bulb, and if it beeps, beep, 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 and lights up red, you know that section is good. And you keep going down each
section,
and it will tell you where the problem is. So I was Sunday, and I was up. I was 7, 9 o'clock at night. I was outside trying to put – I had one tree that went out right next to the house. I said, this can't be out because this is right next to the house. I was so upset. So I was trying – couldn't figure out. It was just one – it was the whole tree. I said, this is ridiculous. I was working on it. I gave up on it. I just disconnected it. So a couple of days, I said, you know, there ought to be a tester I can get or something, you know. So I am thinking about it. And then yesterday, which is Thursday, this is 3 days later, I said, wait a minute. I bought a tester. I had it sitting right there in the bag still, unwrapped. So I pointed it at the daggone strip, which is 100 lights on the street. 300 lights on the street, on this one string. I plugged it in. I pointed it at the first light. Wouldn't work. I said, I'm doing something wrong. Nothing's happening. What's going on? So I said, if you don't, you know, first practice on set of good lights that you know is good. So I went to these good lights, and I pointed it at the and the thing bleeped and lit up and did all sorts of stuff. I said, wait a minute. So I plugged it back into the wall, pointed it at the first light, and nothing came on. And then I said, well, wait a minute. If it's not coming on, that says there's a problem.
Right.
So then I pointed it in between the socket and the bulb in the little strip that was there, and it still didn't work. I said, you big dummy. The reason why it's not working is because the fuse is probably blown. So then I went over to open the fuse, and there's a fuse was blown. Put in a new fuse, worked right away. I said, oh, I could have saved 5 hours of Sunday and all this week of aggravation. So this thing is worth the money. I think it was $14. But it's well worth the money.
Yeah.
Well worth the money.
So I got to see what's going on in front of my house.
It's called the I got to hear some. Oh, here's what it's called. It's called, fix your light. Fixes light sets. Fast and easy. And I'm telling you, this really works. That's right.
So you got to be a pro.
You have to be a pro. Anyway, all right. So we're talking about Christmas here, and we have some things. I just want you to say, just remember, he's saying for today's show is, we all may have come on different ships, but we are all in the same boat now. Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Just remember that. Came on different ships, but we're all
in the
same boat now.
It should be we came on different slaves.
We're
all on the same slave now. We need to Christmasize that saying.
That's true. So, now.
Speaking of
we have
benevolent people that come in on slaves, how about that Pope Francis? Every week he gives us a new gem.
What did he do now?
Oh, well, his latest, he responded to the Republican critics criticizing him on Fox about the capitalism and calling
and
the Marxist.
What did he say?
All of that. Oh, he said plenty these days. Every time he speaks, though, I'm thrilled. I'm excited. this guy has lived up to his name, Francis, and I just kind of like was going, maybe he'll be a nice pope, you know, maybe he won't be have the controversy of the Nazis swirling around like last time, but you know, it'll be something good. But he's just surprising me over and over.
Well,
and over he puts it back to people.
During this whole Christmas spirit here, we're going to be doing a lot of things connecting how horrible, how detrimental, how disgusting the right is with how they treat people. They treat people so disgusting. It's unbearable how they treat people. Now, one of my favorite stories of all time is A Christmas Carol. But the best Christmas Carol of all time was the one from 1951 with Alastair Sims. And Christmas Carol is a story of redemption. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be talking about how the Republicans, and we're going to show them how Scrooge got redemption. And if you look at the parallel, you can see how it's very close. Now, let's play our first clip from A Christmas Carol. And then we'll talk about it.
Christmas has even less to do with it, my dear sir, than your wife has or I have. You still owe me £20 and you're not in the position to repay if it was the middle of a heat wave and August bank holiday. Good afternoon.
Ah, humbug, forget it. Hey, you need to go there. And then his nephew
Fred, who he was supposed to, and when his sister died, who he loved tremendously. And the story about it is, if you don't know the story of Scrooge, he loved his sister very much. That was the only person who stood by him when his father told him to get out, and because his father never liked him because his mother died in birth when Scrooge was born. So the father always held that against Scrooge. So the only one who treated him and wonderful was his sister. And then one Christmas, the sister came and said, you know, father is, he realized how wrong he was, and he wants you to come home. And everything is all forgiven. Well, he said that, and the sister said, you know, you'll never have to go away again, and everybody will always love you. He said, I will always love you. He said, well, sister, then you have to live to be 100 years old, because I could not exist if you didn't love me or you weren't here. Sister dies.
What's love got to do with it? Right, this is all about money.
That's right.
We're talking about love,
well, this is what happened.
And kindness to people.
The sister died during childbirth with Fred, her son.
Fred.
And when she died, he thought that she died. She just passed out for a minute, and he walks out of the room, and he looked over at Fred, and he never forgave Fred, just like his father never forgave him. So, but when he walked out, the sister woke up, her last dying breath was, please, Ebenezer, take care of Fred. Watch over him, take care of him. He never heard that from her. So all these years he's resented Fred, but all these years Fred has never resented him. And despite everything that went on, that Fred became very well off. He married a girl that he was in love with who was not rich. And that's why you heard in the end, they said, well, why you married her? Who told you to marry her? She has nothing. She can't provide nothing for you.
So anyway, the only value of people is how much money they
have. How much money they have. So when he, so now, and we'll hear in future clips here that one of the main things, when he was young and he met his wife, Mary, neither one had a dime to their name. But Scrooge said, Ebenezer said, I'll make it, and we'll have a lot of things. So then Mary said to him, well, will you throw me away when you have everything? He said, no, never, ever, 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 ever. Well, didn't happen that way. Because as soon as he started making money, he never paid attention to Mary again. And now, the reason why I'm playing this epic drama today is because this is the Republican Party.
Yeah.
This is them.
Well, and much, you know, like today, that era Dickens wrote about, you know, was one of extreme poverty and almost a mirror to the robber barons over here in America, you know, where all the wealthy have everything and the poor have nothing, and you are just in the streets starving.
That's right.
Too bad. It's your fault if you didn't have rich parents to inherit a title from. You know.
Absolutely. Well, here's another. This is a short clip. This is Ebenezer when after Mary says, "Look, you can come home." Daddy realizes he made a mistake. Now, just listen to this. This is another setup here.
Forget the past. For my dearest mother's sake. Yes, Fred.
So the whole thing was forget the past, forget the past. Now here we are with these Republicans. They do not want to forget the past because they saw how this president and this Democratic Party has beaten them at every turn. They will never forget the past.
Well, here's the thing. It's not only that they won't forget, but they won't allow the future to occur. It's
because
like
if you can't forget the past, you can't allow the future to occur.
They're so demented these days that any time they don't get their way, rather than sitting down and waiting their turn, or trying to stage a comeback, or any of these types of things like they used to do, now they try to make reality itself cease to exist. They shut down governments. They shut down legislation. They will halt the operation of life itself and just sit there and go, la, 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 la.
Well, this is the thing. They can't forget the past. These dumb people want to shut down the government again. There are some of them who voted against this budget because they think they can shut down the government again. They know they're not going to make anything of it. They know that. The problem is they don't care.
No, they just don't want anything functioning. That's
they don't want anything functioning.
Like, look, you're talking about the same group. We have this unholy coalition of freakazoids. You've got the people who are religious nuts who just that science doesn't exist, nothing exists, society itself is all evil and needs to be destroyed, and we need to go back in this ancient past somehow to where everything is, the Garden of Eden. And then you got the other side where you just have these maniacally, I don't want to call them free market because they're probably free market.
Yeah,
they don't want anything to they have an obsession with money. They don't want taxes. They don't want any kind of government regulation. They don't want anything at all to hinder mighty corporation from making mighty bucks. So you have these two groups that come together, and one hates government because it hinders the acquisition of money, and the other hates government because it points out or interferes with their religion as the only sole, truth of all life itself. And so when you get these two together, it's like the perfect storm. We've got this group of people who they don't care how damaging it is. They don't care if they don't have the votes. They don't care if everybody's laughing at them. It doesn't matter to them because they would rather stop the entire world from functioning than to lose out for 5 seconds or to ever, not have their way. And it's just like a little child throwing a temper tantrum. I mean, that's what we've got, basically, is a party throwing a temper tantrum. But unfortunately, they happen to be sitting in government, and they're doing real damage.
Now, but what did Dante's Inferno say? What's the other? I'd rather serve
reign in hell
than serve in heaven, right.
Because, better to be a lord somewhere than
that's right.
ever, bow down. Before.
Absolutely. Well, this is their problem. So as we can see now, next scene we'll go to is a short scene, about 29 seconds. This is about where the father blames Ebenezer for his wife's death. The problem is she would not have died in childbirth if she would have had health care.
You
think?
And especially
but she could not
afford it.
I don't want to say this, but there are some people where the child and the mother die in childbirth, according to these jokers on the ultra right. Let the mother die. No, let the mother die. We got the child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, here's the
we're just switching out one for the other.
Yeah.
Now, we now have someone that we can take and mold because they're younger.
Mold is such a kind word.
Is it? Yeah. Screw.
Well, you know. But,
that's even a kind word.
It's kind of like what I was saying earlier when I first came in, because I was listening to this crap on the radio. These guys with Duck Dynasty, they got in trouble for spewing their hatred and bigotry, right? Same thing again. When they get in trouble for saying something that is so, you know, disgusting, like this guy saying the whole problem with America and America's failing because we have gays, you know. Instead,
well, the next thing out of his mouth would be because we have blacks,
but he knew that
he couldn't get away with that.
Well, he couldn't get away with any of what he said. So what he said, you know, it goes on even what he, beyond what that. But it was just horrible enough that he had no choice.
Of course not. Well, the latest thing is that the rest of the mongrel pack, says, we're not going to come back on the air either.
That's what I'm saying. Again,
good.
It's that thing of if you don't want to, and this is the thing that makes me so mad with the GOP, again, when they get in trouble, they say, oh, well, you're trying to infringe our
right to
free speech. No, we're not. We gave you a microphone and a camera.
That's right.
And you said something so
disrespectful
that now you can't even speak in public. You know, it's kind of like the neo-Nazis or whatever else. They let them march. They let them organize.
Right.
They let the KKK wear sheets and show up downtown. Now, if you say something so despicable that, you know, everybody's beating you up or laughing at you, then that's your problem. But this whole thing of now, they're going to we'll shut the whole franchise down, and we're going to damage it. You know,
good,
A&E and put them out of business.
So A&E don't have nothing else to put on?
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Right. Yeah. Hey, guess what? There's more rednecks in the woods.
That's right.
You know? I mean, every channel you turn on, there's a redneck show. There's people chopping trees. There's people driving trucks. You know, it's like these people, they want to take all the kids and go home because they can't get.
Well, right now we have on the phone Charlotte's own presidential candidate, Mr. Robbie Wells.
Well, hello, Michael. How are you guys doing this afternoon?
How are you doing?
Oh, I am doing just fine, thank you, and just getting ready for Christmas and the New Year, of course, with my family coming into town the beginning of next week. But what a year we've had.
Oh, well, tell us something about what's been going on with you. I haven't spoken to you in a few weeks.
Well, Michael, we just got back from a trip up in the Northeast. Last week we were up in Providence, Rhode Island. I was in studio there in Providence last Thursday evening and then had a meet and greet there in Providence. And then the very next day we were over in Southbury, Connecticut. I was the keynote speaker at a fundraiser for three charities that were, of course, inspired by the tragic shooting that occurred just over a year ago now at Sandy Hook Elementary School. And I was the keynote speaker there. They wanted to hear about my plan, Vets for Kids, which will protect every kid in every school across this country by employing our veterans. So we've been fairly busy leading up to the holiday season.
Now, how was that received? What was your since we had the shooting on the anniversary, how was that received?
Well, actually, it was received very well. And if you look at the shooting that occurred last Friday out in Colorado, that whole situation was diffused within 80 seconds because there was an armed guard on the scene. That was able to defuse the situation. I venture to say that if that same scenario had occurred a year ago, maybe, just maybe, it wouldn't have been as tragic as it was. Now, any loss of life is tragic. We know that. But maybe, just maybe, there would not have been as many people that had lost their lives that day. I do know that my plan will work. Earlier this year, a similar situation occurred in one of the Atlanta schools, and one of the guards actually was able to subdue the gunman which was a student, by the way, and it worked. So I know that this plan will work. Let's take care of our future, which is the children of our nation.
Well, here's a problem I have with that. You know, most of them have policemen. They all hate in school. But the problem that I have with it is, and I have a major problem with Charlotte Mecca with this, is that, you know, they refuse to build up higher. Two stories, three stories. They want to stretch them out to the next county with trailers. And you stretch it out to the next county with trailers, there is no way you get to the trailer before everybody's dead. To me, forget that. It's the school system's fault. Because I worked in the school system. And my daughter worked in the school system. And she worked out of a trailer that was 200 yards from the main building.
I completely understand, Michael. I completely understand where you're coming from there. I'm, of course, a former educator myself, and I actually taught classes in one of those portable units or trailers, per se, as you would call them. And you're right. There is no foolproof plan, but I do know this. We do need to make sure that we have good guys to combat the bad guys. And the fact of the matter is, there are some psychopaths that are out there. We got to be very realistic.
Yeah, you sound like the NRA now. No, good guys, well, bad guys. Nah. That's no good. I'm asking you a question. Why don't they have these problems in New York City school system, where it is 100,000 times more students and more nut jobs?
Well, if you go in most of the city schools, they have what they call resource officers that are on duty in most of these schools. Where you're going to find the problem is in small town USA, where they think, well, this could never happen to us. I guarantee you, 2 years ago, Sandy Hook Elementary School, they never thought that anything like this could ever have happened. But it was. It was small town USA. And, you know, we've got to make sure that we look at all options and be able to future. Because I'm going to tell you this right now, Michael. Somewhere in some elementary school right now, there is a child that is going to come up with a cure for AIDS. Somewhere in a middle school right now, there's going to be a child that's going to come up with a cure for cancer. And somewhere in a high school right now, there's probably some student that is going to come up with a great invention that is going to change our transportation, where we no longer have to rely on fossil fuels. We do now, but there's going to come a time when we don't. So we've got to protect the future leaders, the future doctors, the future lawyers, the future ministers of this nation, which is our children.
Well, you know, you're absolutely correct. But I don't understand. That doesn't even make common sense to me that they didn't think it could happen there. Anybody who watches Criminal Minds, that's where it all happens. I mean, it don't happen in Chicago or New York City. Very seldom it does. But 90% of the time, these shows take place in these podunk towns.
Well,
I mean, you know, just because you're a small town, that don't mean you don't have no nut jobs. I mean, everybody, there's crazy people all over. We don't know how many crazy people we walk by every single day.
Well, and you said something a little bit earlier. You said I sounded like the NRA. Let me just say this. I am not a member of the NRA.
And really,
I'm not a member of much of anything. I'm an American citizen that, you know, I have my opinions and my beliefs. But, you know, I believe it's time for us to stop labeling people and start working together and come together with some serious solutions. I truly don't believe that more gun legislation is really going to deter some of these criminals. What I do know is this. I've never really seen one of these psychopaths go into a police department and try to shoot it up, because they wouldn't get very far because everybody there is armed. That's why I want to make sure that we put the good guys, per se, our veterans, who have taken an oath to protect the people of the United States, including the little people, the young people. So let's use them, especially in small town USA, where we need the most help anyway. In most every small town across this country, we've got veterans that are just sitting there, and we've got so many that are unemployed. What a great way to put them back to work.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I don't want to.
Well, here's one of the things that he's touched on several times with that I agree and applaud is the fact that we have a great need in this country to employ and honor our people. We've just come off of a decade of war. We just created a huge pool of injured soldiers. Now, at the same time, I get very upset. You know, a government has a moral responsibility, if you will, when you vote for a war. But then you've got to then educate, defend, feed, and care for all of these soldiers that you just threw out into the mud.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad to hear, you know, he has at least some kind of plan going on, because the other side is in government. They keep cutting funding for everything. You know, they're cutting SNAP.
They're cutting government.
They're now cutting the
because we don't need government.
You know, retirement plans and stuff. And they've never put money up or the facilities up to do the mental health care and things like that these soldiers need.
Well, absolutely.
So, I mean, you know, something's got to be done. And, I mean, he's right. And it touches on what y'all said, too. It never happens in big cities because big cities have the resources. It always happens in small towns where they have no resources.
Yeah, but he said what was overly correct. They don't think it can happen there.
Well,
it only happens in big cities.
Well, exactly, but it also gets back to the root of poverty where they don't have resources and they just go get along. But if you would invest in this country and invest broadly, you know, everywhere, everybody could be employed and everybody could be safe and everybody could live in a clean environment and things like that.
Yeah, but
you
that's the problem.
It wouldn't be pockets of it here and there where there's
we money. Don't want everybody working.
I know we don't.
That's the problem.
Don't. But you know what? The alternative is everybody lives in those little gated fortresses with armed guards that they pay, and then you shoot people that come up, you know, and try to take your stuff.
Oh, yeah, like the guy did to Atlanta. The guy did that to the young lady who was in the car accident in Atlanta. Yeah, well, what do you think about that, Robbie?
I did not follow that one. You're going to have to fill me in.
There was this guy. It was a white guy. He said that he heard a knock at the door.
Oh yeah.
Rustling at the door and at the glass, the window.
The lady had broken
he
that.
Picked his he picked up his shotgun, and when he opened up the door, he didn't open it. He fired through the door. And killed her.
Yeah, just blasted her.
She's 23 years old. She was in a car accident down the road, and she was looking for help.
Well, that kind of reminds me of the story back in September where, you know, Officer Randall Carrick, he was charged in the shooting death of Jonathan Farrell, who was a student athlete at Florida A&M. And of course, that happened right here in Charlotte, and it's really a tragic story on both of them. It sounds very similar, actually.
And it is very similar. The thing is, this guy is trying to claim stand your ground, though. Although he shot through the door.
Well,
I mean, yeah.
You know, that gets a societal issue when technically she's on his property.
Yeah.
But then again, he didn't have any common sense
or
decency of just like even asking why the person was there. At least give him a chance.
Yeah.
You know, just go ahead and shoot. You're on my property, blam.
Right. The thing is, though, I wanted to get back to what you were saying, Robbie, because you had a good idea, but how do we get these vets that are coming back?
Yeah, but I'll get down to money.
The problem is, you know, we had no money when Roosevelt was president, and he started the building all these bridges and
the
public works system.
All the parks and whatnot, that's correct.
The parks? What's the story? Why can't we get these people back to work, especially these vets coming home? I mean, these people, these daggone right-wing fanatics do not want people to work. They want a bad economy.
Well, and you know, I don't want to get into that debate today, but what I will say is this. We've got to make it our priority to take care of these veterans who have laid it on the line for you and for me. The greatest love that any man can show is that he'll lay down his life for his friends. And that's what each veteran has done. okay? Some of them actually did pay with the ultimate sacrifice. Some of them paid with the sacrifice of losing their arms, their legs, you know, whatever the case may be. The fact of the matter is we've got to do a better job here in America with our veterans from any conflict, from any war. We've got to do a much better job.
But we always say that. We got to do a better job. How do you do it when you have intransigence?
Well, here's what I am going to tell you. I've got a platform truly believe will take care of our veterans. It will overhaul the VA, number one. And when I say overhaul, what we need to do is basically put about twice the number of workers in the VA. We've got some great people working in the VA. We just don't have enough of them. You're going to say that's going to require more money. That's going to require. Let me tell you what's going to get us out of debt. What's going to get us out of debt is to bring the manufacturing jobs back to this country. Okay? In the past two decades, we've lost about 5.5 million jobs strictly because of the signing of the North American Free Trade Agreement. As your president, I will be pushing to repeal that, to bring those jobs back here. We've got to block a huge portion of the imports coming into this country, drive down the cost of manufacturing in this country, and that's what's going to bring these companies back, which is going to employ Americans. You see, right now, all we are is a consumption-based nation. All we do is consume and buy, and that's making us go broke. We're $17 trillion in debt. We've got to get back to being a production-based nation where we produce and we sell. We can do that by bringing those manufacturing jobs back to this country. We can do that by becoming energy independent, which will create another 3.5 to 4 million jobs. And by doing that, we're going to dig ourselves out of debt, and then we will have a whole lot more money that we can make sure that we take care of all these veterans. It's a huge circle. But by putting people back to work, the crime rate will go down as well.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you. Here's the problem, though. How do you do that and pay the people who are working in those places the $15, $17, $22 an hour without the cost of the materials they're making going 10 times what it is now?
Well, and that's a very good question. Once again, you know, just like I told you, my plan does call for blocking a huge amount of the imports coming into this country and driving down the cost of manufacturing. How do you do that? You do that with revenue-neutral value-added tax. It doesn't hurt the American consumer, but what it does is it blocks all the goods that are coming in.
Yeah, but won't you have a war?
Trade war? How would you then, because you're going to create a economic downturn at the very least, internationally. So how are you going to combat that downturn? We may boom the American economy, but then what about the rest of the world if it goes into a recession or depression because there's no trade with the number one market?
Well, I ventured to disagree with you there because really, if you look at the economy of the world right now, number one, the world depends on the United States of America's economy to do well. And if our economy collapses, if we don't bring these jobs back and put these people back to work, okay, where people can actually live and support their families, if we don't do that and our economy actually collapses, then the entire world is in a big world of hurt. We've got to take care of our own backyard before we start worrying about anybody else's. And that's another thing, too. You know, we give away over $50 billion a year in foreign aid. You may say, well, that's not very much money, you know, in the big scheme of $17 trillion. But think about this. Imagine if we took that $50 billion and kept those taxpayer dollars right here in America and took care of the 36 million Americans that are living in poverty right now. Imagine if we took that $50 billion and broke it up over 50 states. I guarantee you Michigan would love to have an extra $1 billion infused into their economy to help with the infrastructure and to help with jobs. And I'm not talking about a one-time infusion of $1 billion. I'm talking about an annual infusion of $1 billion per state.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct, but We don't have to do that. We got money that is, we're just throwing away in the garbage. We had the YF-22 and the F-35 aircraft that cost $480 billion over the last 10 years, and we have 7 working aircraft. And now the,
yeah,
now
exactly.
The program,
that's $500 billion, and the planes really don't even work.
They don't. They only have 7 of them. Now, and what about the largest air base on the planet outside of the United States in Afghanistan that we never used? Did you see the report last night?
Well,
they never used it. It was the largest Marine air base ever built. The Marines said they didn't want it, but the manufacturers and the people building it, they wanted it.
Where do you think all those no-bid KBR Big Cheney went?
That's right.
Come on.
They have two incinerators on this particular base that burn 40 tons of garbage a day, and it was never, ever used. What about all that waste? We're talking about not giving $50 million or $50 billion to somebody. We're talking about, matter of fact, and every single one of the contractors got paid.
Well, that's because, Mike, they don't have oversight.
See,
we haven't had the
problem is
the Pentagon since Vietnam.
Right. Well, the thing is that the problem is that we have too many people that are getting money. These farms shouldn't get another daggone dime. We should not be paying people not to grow. This is not 1920. I mean, there are so many things. But, every time I hear that thing about we should be doing this overseas, that's such a cop-out. That's a red herring. We got more stuff over here that is being pissed away every 5 minutes, but nobody wants to talk about that. That's what needs to get done. I mean, we got how many clandestine programs do we got going, black box programs we don't even know about, let alone Area 51. Listen, the thing is that we have these. I mean, it's just incredible. You know, the YF-22, great idea. YF-35, not working. But we kept building. We kept spending. And we're talking about this daggone measly health care rollout. Measly compared to the YF-22 and the F-35. How come there was no congressional hearing? Why didn't that fool ISA get out there and grill every one of these military people and every one of these contractors? Forget the military people. They're the ones that were complaining. Why weren't they grilled and thrown in jail? I mean, I don't understand it.
They were just taking the money.
But yet
they
want to hang the president because he didn't have his hands on the program. How come he didn't know it wasn't working right? How come he didn't ask anybody? Well, how come the daggone ISA didn't ask anybody? He's the one that's in charge of oversight. Why was he? I don't remember him having one hearing on oversight on the F-35 and the YF-22. Not one.
Well, you're exactly right when you say we've got to do a better job with oversight. We've got to do a better job with accountability. Because right now there's a lack of accountability with a lot of things that go on that the taxpayer is paying for. So we've got to do a much better job.
Mr. President, I'm asking you, how would you take this accountability? What would you do in the case of the YF-22 and the F-35?
Well, the first thing that you've got to do with any organization is have the correct attitude sitting in that Oval Office. And that's an attitude, in my humble opinion right now, of transparency. And that is not just lip service with me. I believe that if you've got true transparency, then there is no need for any kind of cover-up such as the IRS, the NSA, with Eric Snowden, of course, and that was one of the huge stories this past year. Benghazi, the Fast and Furious, the AP, and the list goes on and on. But if you've got true transparency, then there is no reason for a cover-up. And if there's no reason for a cover-up, there's never a scandal to be worried with. So here's what I'm going to say. With the correct attitude at the top, that permeates its way throughout all of government or throughout all of business or throughout any team. We've got to have the correct attitude, and then that will carry over for everyone else. An attitude that says you're not going to cover anything up. We are going to be upfront and honest with what's going on, and we may have to make some tough decisions, although in some cases it's really not that tough a decision. If it's not benefiting the people of the United States, then it really needs to go. You know, there's two questions that I'm going to ask when I do become president, and I do intend on winning in 2016. The number one question is it constitutional? And number two, is it for the betterment of the people of the United States? I think that a lot of our lawmakers have gotten away from that. Asking those two questions, and especially that second one, is it for the betterment of the people of the United States of America, not just for a select few, but for Americans as a whole?
Well, no, yeah, you're absolutely correct. Well, see, here's the problem is most of these people who are in law can't answer that question. But Mr. Obama is a constitutional lawyer.
That's correct.
These other people been in are not constitutional lawyers, so they can say what they want. Oh, no, I don't believe in this. I don't believe, well, yeah, is that constitutional? They can't tell you. They just run it off at the mouth. So they're lying when they say, oh, yes, this is supposed to be like this. This is supposed to be like this. The Rand Paul, he don't know he don't even know how to spell constitution. So him saying that this is correct is a bunch of garbage. None of those people are constitutional lawyers. They didn't even get out of school to spell constitution. So this is what bugs me about this. And these people think that, I know, is it constitutional? Yeah, well, you don't think he knows if it's constitutional or not? Please, that's what he went to school for. So it's nonsense. Now, the other thing is that, you know, you got this problem that I see is that what you were saying is absolutely true, but there are certain things, and I am a firm believer of that, someone who's been in the military, there are certain things that the American public cannot handle. And I'll tell you what, the colonel in A Few Good Men,
Colonel Jessup.
Colonel Jessup, right. He said they can't handle the truth, and he is absolutely correct. There are certain things we need to know about, and there are certain things we don't need to know about how the sausage is made.
That's correct.
So, you know, when people say, no, I want to know about this, that's baloney. If you know about what are you going to
do? Well, it's about like everybody in America that owns a car, okay? 99% of the people get in their car every day, but they don't understand how that engine works, but they have the faith that it's going to work and that those brakes will not fail them.
My daughters, huh? Oh, gee. Anyway. Yes. I didn't want to go into that. I've been up with cars the last two nights because of one of them. Anyway, but you know, you're absolutely correct. But the problem is they're the ones who are going to scream the loudest, well, I need to know. No, you don't need to know.
Well, there's certain things, of course, you don't need to know. Now, I do believe that we've got to clean up this mess with the NSA. And Eric Snowden, of course, you know, I've got my own personal opinions on the way that he went about it. I don't agree with the way that he went about it, but he did bring light to some things that were going on that probably were not go ahead, I'm sorry.
A clock is right twice a day.
That's correct.
Oh, you know, hey, just because there are some things you got, yes, but his clock is still working twice a day.
I'm just curious because that is in the news right now. Then I would like to get to a Christmas question for him. But anyway, what is your thought or take on, since they just came out with the 48-point or whatever recommendation against spying, what is your take on the entire, you know, range of NSA spying options we have. Should it be the way it is? Should we scrap it all? What's your constitutional, not constitutional? How do you feel?
Well, what I think we can do, I think that we can work for the protection of the people of the United States without delving into their privacy so much. I mean, you know, the NSA taking in all these phone logs each day, billions of basically every phone call that comes through from an American citizen, whether it be a domestic call or an international call, whatever the case may be. I think we've got to do a better job, because when you get that much data, there's no way that you really can go through all of it and say, okay, well, here's a bad guy and he's trying to, you know, probably harm some American citizens or whatnot. I think we need to do a better job with our intelligence of actually pinpointing the ones that are trying to do harm to this country and to the citizens of the United States.
Well, no, you're absolutely correct. The problem that I have with this is that we as citizens are not in a position to judge if this is needed and that's not needed, because we don't know what came before it.
Yeah, and here's the thing. We don't know exactly you know, what is going on, because, of course, once again, that's privy to the ones that are actually in the NSA. I'm sure that there's a lot of things in there that if we actually knew what was going on, it would make us quake in our boots. So,
you think?
Oh, yeah, exactly. So, you know, from that standpoint, I understand. But on the flip side, we've gone down this slippery slope, guys, since 9/11. Of taking away from the liberties and freedom of the people of the United States by the passage of the USA Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act. Now, here's the thing. There's good points to all of those. The points that I do not agree with is taking away from everybody's right to due process, which is in the Fourth Amendment. So I would like to see everybody have due process, and, of course, you know, we've been going down this slippery slope where we're not. So that's something that we're really going to have to look at and really analyze as we go forward.
Well, you know, it's just like what we were talking about as Benghazi. You know, I mean, you know, if anybody believes that Benghazi was just a screw-up, they have to be an utmost moron. I mean, anybody with a half wit of sense knows the reason why that went down like it was is because that's a CIA outpost, and it wasn't. It's not listed as one. That's the reason why it was so secretive.
Right, and that's exactly why.
I mean, you know, and you have to be a moron not to think that it was a CIA outpost, and that U.S. ambassador was prima facie to be there because they all knew him. But he was working with the CIA.
If you remember later, when they started the
faux
controversy, and
right.
That, some of the senators got so mad at the Republicans because they said,
"Yeah, they all know." That's right. No, but they all knew.
So, yeah.
I mean, it's just like this guy that's in North Korea, working for the CIA. What, are you kidding me? They know it. I know it. My dead dog out there knows it. I mean, so you know, but. Are people really that dumb and not in tune to what's going on as a whole? If they are, we are in deep trouble.
Well, Michael, I believe that a lot of the American people are just going with what they are actually told and what the mainstream media actually tells them. And that's where people like yourself come in and can really help with your radio show here and people like you across this country. So, with that being said, kudos to you, my friend, for this show and for bringing light to these subjects.
You're bringing a light on this. You are bringing a light on this also.
Hey, now, this mutual admiration society is trying to get out of hand.
You are bringing a light on this too, saying what you're saying also.
You know, there's a new term for that, and I think they call it bromance.
Hey, speaking of bromances, this reminds me of one of President Bush's favorite bros, the man he could look in the eye and know his soul.
So
we just came off a week of Christmas love and joy in Moscow, where Putin, you know, freed a bunch of people he had imprisoned and, you know, things like that, you know, doing his good deeds to try to smooth over the world community coming to the Olympics next year. So in that vein, Robbie, if we're going to go into your presidency in the first year, we will eventually reach Christmas. And when we reach Christmas, what would a President Wells Christmas gift to the American people look like? What would that spirit be?
Well, I believe that what the people of this country are looking for is a president that is once and for all going to be able to bring people together from all walks of life, whether you're of a different religion, a different ethnic group, whatever the case may be. We need a president that is truly going to be able to do that. We thought that President Obama was going to be able to do it, and he has to a certain degree, being our first black president. But in a lot of ways, race relations in this country have actually gotten worse. We've got to do a better job. I truly believe that if you look at my career, I've always been a bridge builder. I've always been one that has been able to find common ground with all sorts of folks from all different types of backgrounds. And I truly believe that that's going to be the greatest gift that we can give to the American people, because it's going to boil down to two things, guys. We've got to be able to love and to serve each other in this country. It's easy to love and to serve those that we know, that are our friends, that are our family. It's not so easy to love those and serve those who are homeless, those that are people that we do not even know. But I truly believe that we've got to get back to that American spirit, and that's what I intend on giving the people of the United States, and that's going to come from my attitude.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and I know that you would strive for that, but you taking the oath of office and the other nut jobs in the basement saying, you know, how are we going to get rid of this President Wells? Let's screw him every time we vote.
Well, let me just say this. Michael, our plan is as such. Our plan is to win the Democratic Party nomination in 2016. Once we win that Democratic Party nomination, one thing for sure about the Democratic Party, and you can look back over history, the Democratic Party always galvanizes and gets behind their candidate. Unlike the Republican Party, obviously you saw that they did just the opposite this past year with Mitt Romney. Now, once we've got that nomination, it is my intention not only of getting every Democratic Party vote, but also to get at least a third of the Republican vote as well. Now, if we do that, we're going to win in a landslide. That's going to send a mandate to Washington and to all those legislators that, hey, we better get on board with President Wells, because the people across this country have spoken, and they've spoken loud and clear that they like his agenda and they like what he wants to do, and we better get on board with it or we're going to be out of a job in our next election.
Well, you're not going to get the teabag party, so that's one quarter right there gone. So now you only dealing with 75%.
Can't even vote for the teabagger.
That's all right. I wish you well. I'll do everything in my power to help make sure that happens. But if you get people who are trying to clip your wings while you got your hand on the Bible, it don't look too well. And that's what these people did to this president, because he was African-American, primarily.
Right.
Not Democrat, African-American. They ain't give a damn about it.
And let me say this. I think I can get away with saying this, Michael, because
they say, you know what? We don't like this Robbie Wells. He's bald-headed.
Michael, let me just say this. Let me say this to you, Michael, and I think I can get away with this a whole lot easier than pretty much anybody else can, because of my background, and I've talked to you about being adopted. You know, I was adopted by a Baptist minister and his wife.
Yep.
They are white. Now, I've got a younger brother that was adopted as well. Now, he's black. So let me just say this about all these labels. This isn't about African America. This isn't about Asian America or white America or Hispanic America. This is about the United States of America. And I think we need to take all these labels and we need to throw them in the garbage can. Yeah, it's great to have your heritage, and it's great that we can celebrate our heritage from our ancestry of where we came from. But we've got to realize right now that we got to start working together, and the establishment has put all of these labels on us to divide us, because if we are divided, we are conquered as a people. It's time for we the people to come together. I've taken a stand for this country. I'm asking for we the people to rise up with me.
Hey, I agree with you, but and everything you say is so wonderful, but that'll make it going to happen.
Let me tell you this. The ones that are crazy enough to think that they can change the world are usually the ones that do.
There you go.
Hey, absolutely correct.
But, you know, there are some people who can say that after you spend 20-something years in prison racist regime, you're never going to have a future. You know.
What was it that Henry Ford said? He said, whether you believe you can or whether you believe you can't, you are correct.
All I want to know is with Henry Ford, let's see, this is the man that tried to get hemp cars on the road.
Right.
Now, isn't it time for hemp cars?
Right.
President Wells, I mean, come on, make a stand. We should all be trying to press weed.
Before we go, I'd like to know, give us three of your big things that happened city, state, nationally, and internationally this year.
Okay, well, I'd say on the city level, of course, Mayor Cannon getting elected. He's a friend of mine. Then, of course, the Charlotte Douglas International Airport, the feuding that's going over on who's actually going to be in control there. That's another big story here in the city. And then we've already touched basically on Officer Randall Carrick when he was charged in the shooting death of the Florida A&M student athlete Jonathan Farrell. On the state level, I'd have to say Governor McCrory being sworn in is one of the top three. Lakeem Faust, the shooting there at the Walmart parking lot in Greenville, North Carolina. He, of course, being a black man targeting white people. I don't know if you remember that story. That was a pretty big story earlier in the year. And then on the state level, this really, in my humble opinion, makes the state look bad, but the Republican lawmakers pushing to adopt a state religion. I don't know if you remember that. It all spurred there in Rowan County. I just think we've got to get beyond that. On the national level, of course, the inauguration of President Obama back on January 20th is one of the top three. The government shutdown, and, of course, we've talked in depth on that, Michael. And then the rollout of the Affordable Care Act. That would be my top three here in the nation. And then on the world, I'd have to say, of course, Eric Snowden with the NSA, that scandal would have to be in the top three, the Kenya Mall shooting, and then our dealing with Syria and almost going into a conflict with Syria when the majority of the American people were saying, no, we're not. We don't need to do that. So that would be my top three on all levels, and I'm sure that there's other great stories out there. Just off the top of my head, that's what I'm coming up with.
Well, I think you're in the running, because we're going to have at the end year-end show, we're going to have some of these listed, and we're going to put them down, and we're going to come up with a list see if yours is chosen.
We'll be checking it twice.
We'll be checking it twice. And we will see if you've been naughty or correct.
Well, let me just say this. Since it is the giving season, for all of your listeners out there, it would be a great time. This is $5 Friday. Give up your coffee from Starbucks and go on our website at www.robbiewells2016.com, and you can click the donate button, and you can take a small little piece of this campaign and say, hey, we're going to make an investment in the future of this country. We're looking for people all across this country that will do just that. They'll invest in the future of their children and their grandchildren. And I can tell you this right now, this is not about me. This is about the people of the United States and having a better America. Everything that, if you look at every bit of my platform, it's all for the kids and it's all for our grandkids. So with that being said, happy holidays to each and every one of you listening. May God bless our troops that are abroad. May God bless our veterans. May God bless these United States. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yes, thank you. You have a great Christmas, and we're going to get together next week. I'll give you a call.
Sounds good, Michael. You take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Robbie Wells, candidate for President of the United States, 2016. Thank you. And what happened to my where is she at? I just want to put her on. Give us a call back there. Anyway,
so
what do you think about Mr. Wells?
Well, you know, he always has, I don't want to say grandiose in a negative way, but he has grand vision, and he has grandiose dreams.
Yes.
And the key is, I think what you touched on, is when reality intervenes and you know, just like Obama, unfortunately, has been kneecapped by, you know, the Republicans who don't want his vision to go forward. So even when he wins elections and everything else, they squat on that. So with his vision, you know, he's got some profound changes, not just minor changes that he wants to enact. And I think he would, at the very least, run into opposition.
You'd think. And right now, we have the doctor. What happened to our doctor?
Her cell phone might be dropped.
I thought we lost our doctor. Well, here's the thing. We have some things that and I'm hoping that we don't lose our doctor here. Are you there, doctor in the house?
I'm here. I am. I'm here. Just, you know, I'm in Texas. So,
they don't want people to talk in Texas. Because if one person...
But no, here's what I have to say. Go, Wendy Davis. Oh, that's Joe's phone. Go, Wendy Davis.
Are you
going to run for governor? You're going to run for governor of Texas.
Yeah, are you going to meet with her?
Oh, sure.
Are you meeting with her?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
I'd like to have Wendy on the show if you get a hold of her.
Well, dang, I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do.
I'll see what I can do.
See what you can do. And, you know, Texas, are the people there that want to stay there, or are they staying there because they got no place to go? I mean, it is so horrific. I mean,
Texans are pretty hardcore. If you're a Texan, you're a Texan, and you got to blast them out with dynamite. You see what it is? You have to blast them out with dynamite.
Yeah,
I think they're just like anywhere else. Society, because you got Houston.
Yeah. So the real Texans, okay, the people that are not the that live in the smaller towns, and they are just wonderful people, really. It's when you start talking about those ultra rich, ultra conservative people who live in Dallas and Houston and all those places. That's when you not so much. But Texas is pretty. I don't want to live here. But
what's the story? What are you down in Texas?
Pardon me?
What are you doing down in Texas?
Oh, we have a house here on the bay, on Copano Bay, that we're closing down. We've decided that, you know, well, we're just going to close everything down and just move everything to North Carolina. We just don't have enough time to come here and enjoy it. So we're closing the house down. We're going to sell it, put it on the market, and then just, you know, live happily in North Carolina. That's what we're going to do. That's the plan.
I think that's a good idea. I mean, that's a good idea. Buy it in Hilton Head or off the north in the north country of North Carolina. I would not, you know, I don't even want to fly across Texas. You know, but I do want to go there because I want to see Dallas Stadium.
Oh, okay.
That's what I want to do.
But you've seen one stadium, you've seen them all. What's the big deal?
No. Oh, that's the Dallas Cowboys. That's different.
All right. Well, you're a football person. I'm not. Okay.
Hey, you go to Dallas, you see that is because that's where JR, he went there. So, yeah,
That's true. Yeah, let's not forget JR.
Hi, JR. But anyway, tell us, what do you think of your three highlights for this year on the city?
On the national?
National.
Okay. All right. Well, city level, you know, we had the death of Dr. Hector Henry. And Dr. Hector Henry was a strong Democrat, city councilman, a veteran of Vietnam, of the first Iraq War, the Gulf War, and then went back in his 70s to be a surgeon. Pardon me?
Okay, city. What city is it?
What did he do? He was a surgeon.
What city?
Concord. Yeah, I'm talking local. Yeah, Concord,
okay.
North Carolina. Yeah. So that's Hector Henry is from. He's from this area, and he died. He died of bone cancer. And you know, of course, we all think that he got it from one of his tours of duty in Vietnam or Iraq or Afghanistan or whatever. But
yeah.
We don't know. But what a lovely person. He never let politics get in the way of doing the right thing. Never. He always focused on being a great, great, great guy. So that would be the first one on my list. The second one on my list is something that is actually still in evolution. And again, this is with the Barron County and with Concord,
right.
But I'm hoping to get it national. It's the 50th anniversary commemoration of the Vietnam War. And the city of Concord has become the first municipality in North Carolina to become a commemorative partner of the Vietnam commemoration. So we're doing really good, wonderful things here. So that would be, you know, number two. And number three, as far as our local 8th district, we have a congressman who is more right wing than Attila the Hun, and we're working very hard to get rid of him. Yes, very hard to get rid of him. And Richard Hudson, right? Richard Hudson, the Tea Party, the Brother. I mean, he's just he seeks out of both sides of his mouth and out of other orifices in his body too, and not and those are below his waist.
Well, so, you see, if Larry Thistle would have only done good, he would have still been there. We wouldn't have had a Richard Hudson.
That is exactly right. If he had done what he's promised to do. You know, I talked the other day to some conservative people, and they were doing nothing but singing Larry Kissel's praises. Now, that's supposed to make me feel bad that Kissel didn't win, you know, that he got beat. No, I feel good, because if the conservatives love him, why would I want to love him?
Absolutely.
You know?
What's wrong with this picture?
Right, exactly. So I feel bad for Larry Kissel, but I don't feel bad for the artistic, because I think we can beat Richard Hudson. You know, Hudson is beatable. He's beatable.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So what's with the state?
State level, unfortunately, the three things that I think are absolutely newsworthy are three heinous, absolutely heinous things. Heinous event. The first one is denial of Medicaid expansion. Okay, that's the first one. The second one is cutting short unemployment benefits. And the third is essentially eliminating food stamps. And in doing so, what these idiots have done is they've also eliminated food stamps. They have put tens of thousands of military families in the poorhouse. And
it's 9 or 11% of military families are on food stamps?
Yeah.
I don't think that's said loud enough or often enough.
No, I mean, that does not say anything at all for these people, these morons. But they don't care. I mean, that's the problem, is that they don't really care. And that's what makes it sad. So that's on the state level. Now, on the national level. On the national, again, unfortunately, you know, maybe I'm pessimist of the year, but the reality is that we cannot just bypass these negative things and these bad things that have happened. Of course, the first one is shutting down the government, okay? And the fact that in so doing, we lost billions of dollars worth of revenue and not to mention jobs. So first one, shutting down the government. We can go into that in great detail, but that would be flogging a dead horse because everybody knows how badly this has affected us. The second thing nationally that I would consider to be newsworthy is, of course, the inauguration of President Obama on January the 20th. The first time since Bill Clinton that any Democrat was elected twice. We had a tendency to be elected once and then lose the second term. So Clinton was the first one in a long time that, as a Democrat, that was elected twice. And so here we have now what is the sweetest part about President Barack Obama being elected twice is that he is a black man. I think that's the sweetest part of it. I really love that, you know. Of course, it made all the right-wing nuts. It made all the Tea Party. It did that. Their brains just exploded. They couldn't handle that. Yes, you know, they just could not handle it. So, can you hear me still? Because I'm thinking I'm losing you.
Hey, you're fine. Well, what was
All right, and the third national thing is Wendy Davis. Wendy Davis standing up and filibustering in the old-fashioned way. With those speakers on, you know, she stood up there, she abided by the rules, she talked and talked and talked, and she talked on point. Unlike the Washington, where you can have stupid Ted Cruz reciting Sam I Am and Dr. Seuss, in Texas, you actually have to, you go to the filibuster, you actually have to talk about the issue at hand, and Wendy Davis did that. So that to me is, yes, I was like, go Wendy. And for me, that signals the surges, another resurgence of the the woman in politics, which is so important because we have so many strong, intelligent, bright women, and we need more of them. Listen, the guys have screwed up Washington long enough. Time for the women to take over.
Yeah, I agree with you. Just a question. Did any of those knuckleheads in Texas think that she was going to be able to do that?
No.
Or were they?
Oh, no, they did not. Because they're such freaking misogynist pigs. You know, they didn't think that she would have the guts, not only the guts, but the ability to do it. I'm like, okay, surprise.
What district does Wendy...
She's a state senator, and Joe, what district is Wendy Davis? Wendy Davis, what district is she?
I have
no idea. But we do know that she's in Texas. I'll find out for you. I'll let you know after I talk to her.
I am sure those guys, in her 10th hour, they must have been saying, what the hell is going on here?
Oh, yeah. They could not flipping believe it. And, of course, you know, people like Mia, they're cheering, going, yes, oh, Wendy, go, Wendy. I wanted to stay up all night and listen to her, but I couldn't do it. I didn't have the fortitude that she had.
Ask Joe what he thinks the most important international story was.
I will. Just hold on a quick second, and I'll wander over to him. Joe, they want to know what you think was the most important international story of the past year.
Syria.
Okay.
Syria. Well, how do you think that it... matter of fact, can Joe come on the phone for a minute?
Yes, of course. They want to ask you why, Joe. I'm going to put you on. So isn't this wonderful? You know, we can do these sorts of things here. Thank you.
Right. Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Okay. Phone.
You always keep it to yourself if you get a chance to talk to him.
There you go. All right, so what did you want to ask Joe?
Joe, what do you think? She's always keeping it to herself. We never have a chance to talk to you.
Well, now you got me.
Okay, now that I got you, why do you think Syria was the top story?
And that's why.
They cut us off the air. We lost the hookup.
We'll never.
And that's why Texas needs to go.
The whole state.
Except Dallas Stadium.
Well.
And AT&T Stadium now.
I don't know, man. I was here for that Saints game. I'm not sure if I.
You were there for the Saints game.
I was here for the Saints.
Oh yeah. The Panthers. If Dallas wins out, they might be playing the Panthers.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, you know what? Speaking of local stories of note, this has been, you know, if you want to take it as a top 10 North Carolinian type of tale. Panthers have been having a smack dead a year. They've been doing quite well with the Cam energized.
Absolutely.
They are actually now, especially with the Saints stumbling on the top of their division now. So they may have enough steam to get somewhere.
Well,
but that would be a charlatan phenomenon.
Yep. I think what the my three things. No, I'm going to save them end of the show for my three things. Joe. But I have three top things that I think. And see, the Snowden deal I think is no big deal. I don't think it is. Because if the man was revealing anything important, he'd be dead, dead, dead. So he's not revealing anything that any other spy agency doesn't know already. It's just the moo-moos in Texas and all around the planet here that don't pay up with what's going on. They're the ones they surprise. Nothing he's telling me is a surprise. Nothing.
Yeah.
We're back with them.
Well, how about
okay.
Yeah, we're back. So essentially what Joe said, I don't know if you got it, but because, you know, what he said was, what would make Sirius important was, you know, literally weapons of mass destruction, the death of hundreds of thousands of people, and plus the fact that in spite of the Cheney, Bush, neocon bunch up in Washington, again, can you imagine sending our young men and women into poisonous gas? Those idiots beating the drum for war. They're so angry because President Obama and Secretary Kerry managed to get a workable solution.
Right. And the thing is that he wasn't going for that okey-doke and said, oh, yeah, we got to go do this right away. No.
Oh, yeah. So, it just scares me to death. These people really, they scare me to death.
Because they don't care. It's all about us being on a war footing 24-7. The same thing is the reason we had those color, those color codes. So you could be afraid. You need to be afraid all the time.
All the time. Right. Yeah. The more fear you... Yeah.
That's right, and that's what he did was change that way of thinking.
Change the whole dynamic. Let me do.
So, as far as I'm concerned, I don't think Snowden is a top threat. And the reason why Snowden had any real important information, he would have been dead 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Never would have been able to let that go. Never. Never would have been able to print that out. Please. This is information that is not national security warranted. Now, hey, we're saying that it's national security warranted, but I don't believe it is. And because they're not going to let somebody still NSA is not going to let somebody run off of the mouth and start talking. I mean, you know, you've seen too many movies where the first thing is... I want his brother dead. I want his dog dead. I want the whole family dead. That ain't going to happen. So, you know, this is things that maybe the average Joe who only votes every 4 years... But if you pay attention to what's going on, I don't think it's such a major story.
I don't think so, too. I actually don't.
Syria, you know, Afghanistan, Libya, these are all great stories, internationally. And, of course, the Pope.
The Pope! Yeah. Oh, the Pope. Yes, the Pope is restoring the Catholic faith. My gosh, it's restoring it to where it should have been for so long, you know? Really establishing the true philosophy of the Catholic faith.
That's right. And he's putting these right-wing nut jobs in their... Did you hear what Sarah Palin said?
Oh, yeah. He's a liberal. He's a liberal. Oh, really? And oh, gosh. What an idiot.
A Duck Dynasty was actually talking about what is in the Bible. There is nothing in the Bible about being gay.
No.
But there's in the Bible about cheating on your wife, cheating on your husband, stealing, So, you know,
yeah.
Where I get the thing from, it's just that, they, and as the Pope said, we don't need to go down this road.
No, we don't. We do not need to go down that road because it's absurd. It's absolutely absurd.
Absolutely absurd. Okay, so, mm-hmm. All right, so now tell us what's happening with the clinics.
Okay, so we've had to extend our hours yet again. Because the needs of our people in Cabarrus County have grown, and have grown exponentially. So once again, we've had to expand our hours of operation. This makes it sad. It's sad, but it's good. It's sad because we've had to extend our hours. Because it shows that we have so many people that are sick that need medical health care, that need some kind of medical care, and have been denied it. So that makes it sad, but it's good because we're able to do it. Now just think about any place that would not be able to do it. Any place that would not be able to say, okay, we're going to expand our hours. And we'll be able to provide more care to, and even in expanding our hours, we can only provide more care to, say, maybe 50 people, when really the need is for 500 people or 5,000 people. But we can only do 50 at any given time. So slowly, slowly, we have to do this. And my mission right now, I'm on this drumbeat. I'm on this thing about saying, look, if every doctor will accept and see one patient for free per day, every single doctor, in North Carolina, I think we can really, really take a big chunk, a big bite out of this whole situation thanks to Raleigh, we've got over 500,000 people that would have qualified for Medicaid that now don't qualify. And then, of course, since they theoretically qualify for Medicaid, but now they don't qualify, they are thrown into this bracket, but they have to actually purchase health insurance, and they don't qualify for the actual the government subsidy they would qualify for would be Medicaid, but they don't qualify for it. You follow? So now right. They have to purchase, and it would cost them over $1,000 a month. Go figure. And they make about $1,000 a month, maybe a little bit more.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So go figure.
It is a problem that what are these patients supposed, are some of these people that you see, you probably don't have the ability to see that they all sign up for, or are you trying to help them sign up?
Oh, no, we are. We're trying very hard to help them. You know, we give them the websites, we tell them, and honestly, the majority of them don't qualify. They would have qualified had Medicaid expansion occurred. They would have, but they don't. So, they have to go through the motions, right? They have to at least try. So they do, but then they don't qualify.
Well, see, here's the thing that's so outrageous, that these people who are these are people who work.
Yeah, they're working. They're working 3-4 jobs. Yeah.
Yeah, they're mm-hmm. acting like they don't, that they never worked. I mean, like they're just getting something for free. When we pay for it.
Well, the other thing that I like to hear, I love when the Tea Party people and these super right-wing nutjobs talk about the poor. So, one of them actually said, the difference between poverty and riches is hard work. So he's accusing the people who are poor of making the choice to be poor. Okay,
right.
Because what he's saying is that they don't work hard enough. Really? They don't work hard enough. So it's bad.
That's the thing that we were. Well, I was doing my intro today. I was trying to compare the Scrooge, because that was the whole story with Scrooge. Scrooge says, you know, the people came to him and said, look, we'd like to collect 20 pounds and give to the poor people. He said, why are these people working? Why can't you send him to debtor's prison?
Are there no poorhouses? Are there no jails? Are there no poorhouses? Are there no jails? That's what this group of morons up in D.C., in Raleigh and in D.C., in the House, that's how they're functioning. That's basically what they're saying. You know, the whole argument that if you expand Medicaid, if you expand unemployment, you're doing them a disservice. Really? Oh, gosh, I didn't realize that me giving you the ability to put food on the table for you and your kids was doing you a disservice. Taking away food stamps, that's a disservice also. I'm
just
thinking
about
who knew?
Where it was the, I believe, the boat of Christmas present is talking at right now. Listen to that.
Take him now. My time with you, Ebenezer, is almost done. Will you profit by what I sell you to go to the Gentiles? And I promise, if it's too hard a lesson for you to learn, they are man's. They came to me for protection from their fetters. This boy is ignorance, this girl is want. Beware them both, but most of all, beware this boy. But have you no refuge? No resource? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses? Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Are there no workhouses? So, you have the question. Well, three jobs. How are they to work when there's three people for every job?
Yeah, at least. There might even be more. But they're lazy. Okay, they should go get a job. This is what I'm saying. They're doing them a disservice. You know, what's his name? Rand Paul. He said, we're doing them a disservice. They should just go out and get a job. I am amazed at this person's lack of understanding.
You know, you were talking about your Texas home closings up a little bit ago. So just let these facts sink in for you. Here's an example of a Republican dream. A state that is number one in the entire nation below poverty level jobs. Number one. Number one in carbon emissions and pollution. 49th in school graduation. Yet number one in all corporate tax breaks of the whole nation. That'd be Texas. Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So see, that's their vision.
That is their vision. That is their vision. Privatize all the schools so that only the rich can go to school. That's their vision.
Privatize the prison so you can make sure you put people in prison.
Well, and not only that, for their debts, you know, that you go. But then you can make money.
Oh, yeah, the debtor's prison, Let's do the debtor's prison. I forgot about
Yeah, and you make money on both, as Thomas says, because while they're there, you make money because, hey, it's a privatized prison. The state pays you for it. I mean, it's just incredible. And so why? Why do people let this keep happening? Why they allow a state to do this?
Because of the disinformation that is being perpetrated by the Republicans. That's really what it is. They actually, and they keep talking about guns and gays, right, and the Bible and abortion. They bring those issues up just so people, and people vote. They're single-issue voters. They do. If you vote, I mean, they're being told, really, essentially by pastors even, if you vote for a Democrat, then you are going to go straight to hell. You know?
The hell, unbelievable. Unbelievable. It is
unbelievable.
So, you see, and I was asking the Robbie Wells on here, you know, are people that out of touch?
Yes. That's the answer. Yes. They are. They're the low-information voters. We used to say they were uninformed. But they're not. They're informed. They're just informed the wrong way. Look, I have people that come into my clinic that are just furious with President Obama and Obamacare. Furious. I mean, they can't see straight. They're so angry with him. And I say to them, what are you mad about? What are you so angry about? And when I hear what they have to tell me, I sit there with my jaw hanging open, and I have to say to them, look, let's get this straight here, okay? The insurance premiums that are going up has been going up every single year. They've always gone up. When was the last time you were told your insurance premium was going down? The answer is never. Every single year, your premium goes up and your benefits go down. Every single year. But now they can blame it on Obamacare. They can blame it on President Obama. Yeah. No. This is the insurance company trying to, again, making another increase, but trying to place the blame on somebody else, so that they don't get, you know, too much static. Right.
It is just incredible.
I had a news story the other day. The Affordable Care Act is already like $3 billion or something. That's just since the bumbling rollout, even, but they've already saved that much.
Yeah, and see,
we don't want to talk about that.
Let's not talk about the. You know, we have 16 million American households. 16 million Americans. That means almost 14% of the households in the United States that receive food stamps. It's 14%. 48 million Americans.
When is that possible in the richest nation on Earth?
That will be affected by a food stamp cut.
Mm-hmm.
48 million. And what are we talking about? We're talking about 5 million people whose insurance is going to go bye-bye because the insurance company doesn't want to give them some good insurance.
Yeah.
And these are people who on their own deliberately took from insurance.
Yes, crummy insurance. Exactly. Ultra crummy insurance.
To make that clear, though, think about this. The only reason, even at this point, even, you know, directly because of the law, say, the only reason they are losing any coverage is because the companies use to give them any viable benefit. You know, that isn't of itself. We refuse, no matter what you pay us, to give you actual coverage and actual value for your dollar.
And here's out of that 48 million people, one third of all those households are styled under. One third. And out of that, the ones receiving it it's a majority because 54% have a child.
Yes.
And in Mississippi, over 40% of the state's children rely on food stamps and the SNAP program. Single.
Oh, but they chose to do this. But they chose to be hungry. They chose to be poor. They, you know, let's get this straight. This is their choice. They chose not to feed their kids. Really?
And you know, I didn't want to get back to. Yes, I did want to get back to. But Megan, I'm just as stupid as I look, Kelly, on Fox News, talking about Santa Claus. And that Santa Claus was white and Jesus was white.
Oh,
and
gosh.
I look at the Middle East. There weren't many people. So
Santa Claus originated in Turkey. Yeah.
That's right. That's right. And unless Jesus Christ was wearing a big sombrero.
Seriously, right?
No way. There is no way. So, you know, and yet, it doesn't seem to bother them.
No.
Because, correct, worse than low information. I mean, I low information is so nice to say. I like stupid. I don't like long information.
Well,
I think it's stupid.
This reminds me of that comedian and television personality, John Fugelsang, made a while back. Barack Obama, brown-skinned, anti-war socialist, gives him free health. You were thinking, Jesus Christ.
Yes, that's true. He said, now, he said, yes, I got to read this about federal debt that shows health care disparities in the state. Okay. One of the one side of the political divide are dozens, mostly Democratic-leaning states, including California, Minnesota, and New York. Expanded Medicaid and lower-income adults and states have started their health care insurance exchange for people to shop for federally subsidized private insurance. On the other side, there are two dozen conservative states like Texas, Florida, Missouri, that have both rejected Medicaid expansion, refused any role in an online insurance exchange, and leave the entity to the federal government. Okay? They didn't want to do that. That the new federal figures provided by state-by-state breakdown on involvement show that new health care programs through November show that the political differences among leaders over the initiative turn into differences in participation among the...
Social Security.
So, you know, what are we going to do with, you know, they're claiming... The conservatives are claiming now, well, that this is not the ACA, this is not Obamacare. They're just dumping them into Medicaid. Like, dumping them into Medicaid. Oh, we're just going to dump them into Medicaid. You know, this whole thing is dumping them into Medicaid. That's not what it is. But I believe that when this really gets going next year, when Hillary runs for president, and if she wins, we will have a single payer by 2019.
Yeah. I think I think it will happen.
It's going in that direction.
Yeah.
It's going in that direction. We will have a single payer because when the people see how well this is run, and how much it helps them. Going the next step, and this is the reason why because Obama was doing it, but one of the other things not doing it is because they knew it was going to turn into a single.
Yeah, I think we're on the road. I mean, this health care, Affordable Care Act is just step one. We will end up with a single payer system, and we will end up with a much better system. We just have to remember that what we got right now is step one. It's just a small, tiny step. A very small, tiny step.
Now we talk about in Texas, which has the highest rate of uninsured residents in nice European controlled state legislature. Not to create state-run insurance market. And Republican Rick, I can't remember what I'm talking about, Perry, also declined to expand Medicaid to cover more of the working poor. Because the working poor as of the end of November, just 14,000 Texans had signed up for insurance through the federal-run marketplace, and fewer than 17,000 of nearly 245,000 applicants have been determined to be eligible for Medicaid. I mean, it is so unbelievable. The twin brothers down there in Texas, what's the twin brothers' names in Texas?
Oh,
the twins. The twin brothers in Texas. One's mayor.
Oh. Oh gosh. Okay, the Hispanics. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I don't remember their names.
The other one's a congressman, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
When one of them becomes the governor after Wendy, one will become governor. And this whole thing will be turned around in Texas.
Yeah.
It will be turned around in Texas. So
that's because the Republicans, with all their endless repression and overreaching, just like they did here, they go for power and they try to set up a state religion and exempt us from the Constitution of the United States and then prevent everybody from voting.
Yes.
It often creates what we call a backlash.
Exactly.
Unintended consequences.
Yes. Absolutely.
So then they end up creating what they feared would happen. And I think that that's what's going to happen.
Of course.
We're going to have a pushback because, you know, everybody stayed home and was still celebrating and doing the high fives because we got Obama elected.
That's right.
And nobody went out
there was a chicken in every pot.
Yeah,
there was
going to
be a chicken in every pot. That's right.
And then we went, what?
Yeah.
And so now it's going, we got to go vote again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But so I will let... Our distinguished doctor leave, and I want to wish you in. Are you going to be down there or up here for Christmas?
Down here. We'll be in Texas.
You'll be in Texas. Yeah. How's the weather? Is it cold yet?
Oh no, it's lovely. In the 70s. Nearly 80. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I will talk to you after the holidays.
You will talk to me after the holidays. I want you and your main man to have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas. And a
will
happy,
do.
Yeah. And
will
if
do.
You see Wendy Davis, say hi, and I'd like to have her on the show. And if you see... If you see Bubba Perry, tell him to pack his bag.
Go put a sock in it. Tell him to put a sock in it, okay?
Say Merry Christmas.
Bye.
Okay.
Same to you. Take care.
God do. Leave it in the house. Okay. That was our doctor in the house. We have someone else on the line here. Oh, but before we get to that person on the line, I need to...
Before you get to that, I just want to say, for clarification, Sam.
Yes, yes.
Because I had to look it up. I'm sorry, I was on the moon at the time.
You're on the moon, okay.
I had to look it up now. But it's Julian and Joaquin Castro.
Right, Julian and Joaquin Castro. Right, that's right.
Those are the twins.
Okay,
who are going to change things.
And this is Christmas, so we got to do... And caller, I will be right with you as soon as we listen to A Little Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. May your every New Year dream come true.
Frosted window panes, candles gleaming inside. Painted candy canes on the tree. Santa's on his way. He's filled his sleigh with things. Things for you and for me. It's that time of year when the world falls in love. Every song you hear seems to say, Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine in three-quarter time wishes you and yours the same thing. Merry Christmas, may your New Year dreams come true. And this song of mine in three-quarter time wishes you and yours everyone.
Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And that was a little Frank Sinatra. And who do we have on the phone here? Hello. Hello, caller. We're back with you. Hello, caller. Hello, caller.
Perhaps they are still.
No, they're still there. They're still there. What happened, caller? They have us on mute. Hello, caller. Who's this? I don't know who it is.
Well, we can discuss our...
Yes. Caller, are you there? I have no idea who this caller is. Hello, caller. Well, anyway, while we're waiting for the caller to come back on the line, SpongeBob, Rachel is a character. She did, Rachel Maddow did a story about SpongeBob. And we're not talking about SpongeBob SquarePants. We're talking about SpongeBob Governor Bob McDonald. Hello. Who's this? Caller.
Michael, this is Lee Sowers.
Yes, Lee. I was calling and calling. I was yelling, but you didn't hear me.
Something happened with my phone. I'm getting some feedback, and I used to using my home phone. used to my other phone.
How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing fine. So you called us to give us some of your top three picks?
Yeah. You asked about some city, state, national, international, top three picks. So I can give you my perspective on a few of them. City issue, first one on my list would be the hello.
Yeah, I know you have some.
Yeah, we have some issues with CMPD, or the Citizens Review Board. I think you were well aware of that. I think you had a local lawyer on speaking of it on a few of your shows.
Yeah.
I was involved with that for a little bit, and that I think we made some good steps for City Council on that.
I think so too. The Civilian Review Board. So you think the Civilian Review Board is yours, one of your city picks? Well, you got another one for the city?
I think the airport took quite a bit of time, especially toward the later part of the year, with the transition, I guess, or that's pending, or you know, that's kind of still in flux. I know they met. I know the new commission met again for the second time last night, and our current aviation director, or the executive of the committee, was tendered his resignation.
And who?
So that's, I'm sorry?
Who was that?
That was Jerry Orr.
Yeah, Jerry Orr. So last night he tendered his resignation?
Well, apparently from what I've read and heard, he tendered his resignation a few days ago to committee chair. And they went into closed session and discussed that for 95 minutes or so, and then they came out and announced what had happened to the people who were present. I was not present. I'm getting this all through my other sources.
Okay. Well, so, and what's your feeling on that?
I think it was a good move on his part, on Mr. Orr's part. I'm seeing, you know, the man ran the airport for 26 years. He was in charge of the airport. He worked for the past 40 years at the airport. He definitely knows what's going on. What happened with Raleigh and the state and the city? I don't think that was the right move, the right play. Obviously, I'm not behind the scenes, so I don't know everything that's happening. I'm getting it mainly from where everybody else gets it, and that's through media sources, but. I think he did a great job running the airport for the 26 years. I mean, what are they saying? We've got the second highest number of takeoffs and landings in the nation. I mean, obviously we're doing something right. We were doing something right, and I think we still are. I think it was smart to kind of have his input on the transition, which, you know, everybody knew it was coming. He's, I believe, Mr. Orr is 72 years old now, and obviously he's going to be getting close to retiring, or obviously, well, he's retired now, so everybody pretty much knew that was coming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I think he did a great job while he was here. I mean, it's been an amazing run for him. And so what else do you have for the city?
Well, you know, from my standpoint, I think we kind of should focus more on infrastructure and transportation. I mean, that kind of goes back to some of the basic services. I mean, we pay tax dollars, or we give, or whatever, for government services to provide for our our basic protection, our basic infrastructure needs, sidewalks, roadways. City services, including the police, fire, you know, and I think we need to kind of stay focused, stay close to home on that as much as City Council can. So that's kind of my take. What do I have for the state? Well, you know, of course, the ACA, that's national and state. My understanding is, North Carolina is one of the few states that are not fully participating in the Affordable Care Act. I don't know if that's the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do, or why it's happening the way it's happening in North Carolina, and we're in the minority. from that standpoint.
Right.
And then voter access, we recently had some action happen this year to limit access to the polls. We don't have a good turnout as it is, so I don't know why we need to take steps to make it even more difficult for people to get out and vote.
You're correct about that. I mean, people, you know, they applaud when they get a 13 or 14% turnout. Like, that is really something.
It's amazing. It's amazing, and it's unfortunate because, you know, we're basically ruled by the minority now because they're the ones who actually get out and vote, and we only have ourselves to blame. Of course, I'm one of the minorities, so, you know, at least I'm putting my voice out there.
Well, you know, the thing is that, hey, we had, I mean, that's the reason why these knucklehead and these duck hunters took over the legislature, because the people did not get out and vote. I mean, 125 years of voting, we secured, made this one of the top, if not the top, states in the country in education and in school development, and now it's 47.
Yeah, I mean, that was third on my list. Education, we're 47, 48. We're close to the bottom now. I don't know if you can blame our current administration on that, but he definitely are the powers that be did not make decisions that encourage teachers to stay in North Carolina. You know, if there's more attractive options somewhere else, and I think even locally we've started seeing people take off and move to better opportunities, which is understandable.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing, though. I don't blame a lion from chewing off your foot if you go into his or her cage, because that's what they're going to do. They're animals. I don't blame a shark from chewing off your arm if you go into the water, because he's an animal. I blame the person that goes in the cage. I blame the person that goes in the water. I blame the person who does not vote. It's their fault. But the problem is that with the lion going in the lion's den and going in the water, the only person you're hurting is yourself. By not voting, you're hurting everybody else that does vote when you don't vote.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there are a lot of very smart people out there, very in tune, you know, people that are in tune that are just, for whatever reason, chooses not to exercise their guarantee, their right to stay involved.
Absolutely correct. Well, what about the international?
Yeah, national, you know, the Obamacare took, or ACA took a lot of attention, especially when we didn't have a smooth transition for this national registry. I think they're going to probably work out the problems. I don't know enough of the details to be able to speak intelligently about it. On the surface, what I see on the streets, what I hear on the streets, is the people who actually did have insurance are paying more. And I don't know what the reasons are. And it could be because we're in North Carolina and because of the action that was taken to not fully allow us to participate.
But are they covered more?
Yeah, they were covered before. Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, these were people that were self-employed or had their own private insurance, and actually, even in talking with my company, our premiums increased. Now, of course,
okay,
my company. Yeah. Go ahead.
Here's the thing that insurance has gone up every year, not because of Obamacare. It's gone up every year without Obamacare. I mean, my daughter's insurance went up every single year for the last 4 years. That's before that was even involved. So that's the insurance company that does that. But the problem is that their insurance has gone up not because of Obamacare. Has it gone up, and do they now have more coverage than they had before?
Well, yeah, actually, some of the – unfortunately, they do. Like some of my single male friends, they now have maternity care.
Why are they complaining?
Right. Well, I mean, no, but that's built in. I mean, and that's, and again, I'm getting this all secondhand. That's kind of built into everybody's coverage.
Right.
So, yeah.
You know, but why are people complaining if they have now more coverage, if they can go to the doctors twice a year now for free, if they can, if they're now having things that weren't covered before that are now covered? Shouldn't they be
well? Sure, yeah. No, and there's some services that I do see the benefit to. Once a year physicals that some people may not have had before.
Well, now twice a year.
Twice a year, okay.
Now,
like I said, I'm not familiar with everything that's involved with the Affordable Care Act. Mainly because it's been taken care of for me for so many years that I haven't really needed to.
Right, right. Well, see, the thing is, though, more people need to find out what they're now being covered for than what they weren't covered for before. Because this is the problem why we pay for insurance. Before, the insurance companies were ripping us off because you would only go once a year, and you never get back any premium. People who go to the doctor now have insurance companies. They're going to get back a portion of that premium every year, August 1st, if they don't use it.
Well,
I'm
not aware of that either, and I probably wouldn't see it anyway. The people who pay my insurance would see it. But, it's a good point. I mean, that's...
If you have a group plan, you're not going to see that. But you're
right.
You pay for it. Now, if you have I pay for my daughter's insurance. She's not in a group plan. And I got back money this year.
Okay.
Because she was not sick that much. So she didn't use all her premium. Because they have to spend 80% of the premium on you now and not give that money to the CEO.
Yeah. That's good. I mean, because... I have a young daughter who's actually getting ready to move back in with me, and she's going to need to take advantage of it. I've been encouraging her to get out there and get some information and find out what it's going to cost. But she's only 20. There's more important things in the world to her. So, it'll be interesting to see how that works for her and her.
20. You're only 20. She can go on your insurance.
Well, actually, it would. I already looked into that when she was younger than that. She would cost me three times as much to put her on my insurance as opposed to getting her an individual policy. So I'd get her an individual policy for a while until she went on her own, and now she's getting ready to come back. For economic reasons. But everybody has to sacrifice every now and then.
My youngest daughter is 31. I'm paying for her insurance.
See, I'm hoping I'm not having to worry about that when mine's 31. Actually, I have two. I have an old one that's she's doing fine too. She is under her mother's plan. And actually, I think my younger daughter now went back to her mother's plan, which ended up. Retract that. She has a fiance who's not. I mean, he's 26, and this is my younger daughter, and he's the one that needs to really look into it because he's not covered.
Well, I have here in North Carolina, they're screwing us by not having the people that can look up all this information for you. But I have a great broker, and he can. You need it. I'll give it to you. He will do it all for you. He'll research every insurance that's out there through the Affordable Care Act. And otherwise, and give you the best insurance possible.
Yeah, I'll definitely need that. I could use that. Pass that along.
You got my number.
But, but some other issues, getting kind of more into details nationally. The NSA, I think that was mentioned before on your show by Robbie. That's made a lot of news. And, you know, budget's always going to be there. Now, of course, we recently had a budget pass, which is a good thing because I think it's the first time in 5-6 years.
Six years.
So, yeah, that's a good thing. So we're making progress. Because you always need that. You have to have a budget in order to kind of know where you stand. So that's a good positive move.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Lee, I want to wish you a happy Merry Christmas, Happy New Year.
Well, thank you very much, Michael. Merry Christmas to you, and Merry Christmas to Thomas, and to all your listeners out there. I hope you all have happy holidays. Enjoy the season.
And we'll be getting together. First year, I spoke to Matt Newton. He'll be back in town after the first, and maybe we can get together.
Yeah. Right. There's some late breaking news on that. We'll fill you in on that. That's at a later date. Once I know what's gonna play out with it. So.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Have a great great evening.
You too. Bye bye. Lee Sowers. He is always giving us his personal point of view. And right now we have someone else on the phone, and who's this? Hello? Hello? Hello, hello, hello? Anybody there? Hello, hello, hello? Take two. Callers that don't answer. Oh, is everything? They wanted to roll off to go into the police. Hello there. Who's this, Diane? Police?
Hello, Mike, this is Lee.
Okie dokie. Yes, I hear you. We got to have troubles with the phone today. People can't hear us. Lee.
Yes.
Can you hear me? Don't seem like you can.
I can hear you. I'm out at UPS.
Oh, you're out at UPS. Oh, okay.
The joy of live.
The joy of live entertainment.
Yes.
So, what's the story?
So you see any drones?
You see any drones delivering the Christmas packages?
No, I'm just glad we're sending the package. So we were listening to the show. And Diane has to commit, so as soon as she fills the label out, she's going to be back, and I'll do the heavy lifting and get the package in there. But how's everything going?
Fine. Well, I'd like to know, what's your 3-3-3 biggies for this year?
Well, you wanted 3-3-3, right?
City, state, and national, and international.
Okay, well, I guess let me start at national. I guess some of the most important things to me have been the implementation of the Affordable Care Health Care Act. I think that's the biggest thing for me. I'm trying to think of a couple more. I really, you know, that's big for me. The lack of work that the United States House of Representatives and the Congress have accomplished. That's big for us, you know, because nothing gets done.
They've only worked they worked an average of 28 hours a week.
And about 20 of that was walking to and from the car, I think.
That's right.
Yeah, that's
and that only means they're working on bills. That means they checked in an average of 28 hours. That don't mean they're actually working.
Yeah, well, that's a business for me. And it's, you know, those are my two visions. I really don't have three. I think there was something I was thinking of that was related to health care, you know, and things about veterans to make it easier for veterans to access the VA. Those are the big three for me. Certainly
if
having,
you know.
Pardon?
While we hang out here until Diane gets back in the car, and I'll keep it open for you.
Well, wait just a minute here because I think I'm up here. I'm going to get the box in, so I'm going to let you turn you over to Diane here. That's my first year on the Hello?
Yes? Hello there.
Well, hi, Lesford. How are you?
Doing fine.
That's good.
So,
that's good.
What
is it you need to
do? This is live radio, you know.
Yes, that's okay. The last word. I'm all right live. How are you
guys doing? What
Merry
tree
Christmas
do you have? There's nothing worse than dead air. What
Man,
tree do you have?
What?
What tree do you have?
State, national,
international.
We'll
keep you open, and when you get situated, just speak up.
No, I'm ready. I'm ready now. What is it you need from me?
What's your three biggest things in the city, state, and national this year?
Okay, so it can't be local?
I said city.
State.
Well, okay. Okay. So the first thing I would say, here in Monroe, the first African-American female to ever sit on the Monroe City Council, long overdue, and that should change some things for us. Probably the second thing would be the fact that in Charlotte, the Citizens Review Board fought for and obtained certain amendments to a flawed system there in Charlotte where you didn't have bad cops who were complained on. You didn't have them having any type of retribution against them because the Citizens Review Board was stacked. And so because of the amendments and the fight of the people, they're able now to have a fair citizens review of complaints against police officers that have done wrong. I think that's wonderful. And the third thing probably, my situation before the Council of Review notwithstanding with the Democratic Party, I would say the third thing that was really wonderful this year is that the Nota School of Arts performed musical at the Booth Theater, Came the City's Darling.
He did what?
Became the City's Darling.
Oh, okay. That worked for me. Now,
yeah,
that is on the city side, right? Well, what happens on the state side?
The state side? Nothing really good happened. I guess I guess if you're saying it doesn't have to be a good thing, it can be a big thing, right?
Yeah, anything, biggest thing.
Right. So the fact that we are at a stalemate in the Democrats have their hands tied in the legislature because minority now, and the Republicans in the state legislature have gone totally bananas, and they're doing things so crazy that when they do things, they say they didn't do them. That's how crazy it is. They don't even know they've done them. So I think that that's a significant thing because we're going backwards in this state.
And you actually feel that they don't know what they're doing.
Well,
I don't believe that.
I'm sure that they have an agenda, but it's almost like going in a place. You ever see in some crazy movies where people run into a place and they start stealing so bad that they steal wrong things? Well, I think that's what's happening with these people here. They are so happy to have their hands in the cookie jar that they forget when they do stupid things, they forget they've done them. It's like shutting down the government and then going out there and saying, I think it's terrible that we shut down the Veterans Memorial. Who does stuff like that? It's crazy.
Well,
they did it, and yet they were protesting that it shouldn't have been done.
Right, of course. Well, hey, because when you got half their clown, the clown car is doing something like that. Half the clown car is doing it, and then the other half of people that listens to the clown car, that watches the clown car, doesn't understand what the clown car is doing. They're just laughing because they're clowns.
Yeah, it's
terrible. I want to make sure that what are you all guys doing for Christmas and New Year's? You going home or what?
No, we're going to be here. We're going to actually make dinner for our pastor. We're going to Florida, but Lee has to work. So we're going to do something we really hardly ever do, and that's stay in town. But for New Year's, I'd like to go to Vegas. I got some family out there. What do you think?
Go to Vegas.
Always bet on Vegas.
Always bet on Vegas. Always bet on black. As
New Year's and
Wesley Snipes said. Anyway, we got to go because it's time. We only have another 10 minutes left in the show. So I want to wish you guys a Merry Christmas, a Happy New Year, and maybe we can get together before the New Year. All right?
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good. You all be safe. I'm going to call you and remind her to hide all the alcohol. And a good Christmas.
Okay. Talk to you.
All right. Mike. Take care.
Nothing better than live radio.
Delivered.
What a way. We got to talk about SpongeBob for just a minute before we
SpongeBob
get to the other. SpongeBob. Okay.
Virginia Governor. Donald.
You ever hear of the Hobbs Act? He's involved up to his eyeballs. He's involved in the Hobbs Act. And the Hobbs Act says whoever in any way or degree obstructs, delays, affects commerce, movement, any article of commodity in the commerce by robbery or extortion or attempts to conspire so to do so, to commit threatened physical violence to any other person, property, or forense, or a plan or a purpose of do anything, a violation of this section, shall be fined under the title and imprisonment not more than 20 years. Section 1951 also prescribes conspiracy to commit robbery or extortion without reference to the conspiracy statute at 18 U.S.C. 371, although the Hobbs Act was enacted as a statute to combat racketeering in management duties. The statute is frequently used in connection with cases involving public corruption, commercial disputes, and corruption directed at members of labor unions. the Hobbs Act criminalizes both robbery and extortion, where robbery means the unlawful taking or obtaining of personal property from the person or the presence of another against their will. Extortion means the obtaining of property from another with the consent, induced, wrongfully use of actual or threatened force, violence, fear, under the color of official right. Now, Mr. Bob McDonald, Sponge Pants, Sponge Bob, as Rachel says, this is what his family, the McDonald's, have been doing. More than $165,000 in loans and gifts they received. Mm-hmm. They received a lakefront home, thousands of dollars in jet travel expenses, drove the CEO's white Ferrari. It was loaned to him. He also got a $6,000 gold Rolex watch engraved with 71. Which means he's the 71st governor
of Virginia.
New York State, New York City shopping spree plus $10,000 in De Laurentiis suede jacket.
That suede jacket
be a little different, right? Yeah, okay, designer bags, shoes, $10,000 in Korean. What? Oh,
a catered dinner for the daughter's wedding.
Yes, yeah. Right. $7,000 worth of golf equipment and golf games. Multiple five-figure checks made out to various McDonald family members.
Money.
And more money.
So.
And this is only half.
Yeah.
This is only half.
Well, the thing is, and then also, you know, he's been doing everything because he's refused to talk to people.
Oh, well, his mom and his wife. His wife got $120,000 more. Benefits.
Well, because she was better.
Was that right? Oh, okay.
I just wanted to drive the Ferrari a few times.
No.
Godly.
And his what do you call, his lieutenant governor, who ran against the Democrat for governor, is up to his eyeballs also because he needs to be criminally prosecuted for trying to fix the election.
Yep.
Which he was trying to do at every turn.
Which is just more examples of when you elect a Republican, expect corruption.
And I need to play one more thing.
We don't have.
We got time. Got time?
Much
time. There it is.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought some corn for popping. Lights are turned down low, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in the storm. But if you'll really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, and my dear, we're still goodbying. As long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Doesn't care if it's ten below, he's sitting by the fire's cozy glow. He don't care about the cold and the winds that blow. He just says, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Weather outside is frightful, but that fire is delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I brought lots of corn for popping. The lights are way down low, so let it snow, let it snow, let it snow,
let it snow.
When we finally say goodnight, how I'll hate going out of the storm. But if you'll only hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm. The fire is slowly dying, dear, we're still goodbye. Long as you love me so, let it snow, let it snow.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. Who was that that was singing that song? How do you know it was Frank Sinatra? Oh, okay.
But he's a good singer.
He sings all the classics. Thank you. Yeah, well,
the governor was letting it
snow. So tell us a little bit about the... who stole Christmas, about O'Reilly?
A little funny, but, you know, it's interesting when facts and history are on your side, you know. But Fox News has made a career in the last, you know, 5 or 10 years about this war on Christmas they always drum up. That supposedly the evil Democrats are out to steal Christmas away and all the traditions of America, right? You know, which is just complete ludicrousness. But anyway, let's talk about fundamentalism for a minute. Some of the founders of this country were fundamentalists
that escaped from the
tyrannies in Europe where they were being prosecuted.
So they didn't believe God?
Well, they didn't want to, they did, but they didn't want to follow certain other religions' ways, so they came over here, which is one of the reasons we have freedom of religion here. However, I just want to say this. This is a puritanical notice from the Puritans themselves, the real ones, the capital P, Puritans. In America,
there's
a public notice that they posted, and said, the observation of Christmas having been deemed a sacrilege, and the exchange of gifts and greetings, and the dressing of in fine clothes, or feasting, or similar satanical practices, are hereby forbidden in this land. And any offender found liable will be fined 5 shillings and then brought before.
So are you telling me the people that we always worship for Thanksgiving, the ones with the funny hats, they said Christmas was bah humbug?
Well, no, they said that the way that people
celebrate it.
Yeah, they perverted the original intention of Christianity, and they would celebrate, and that was profane. You shouldn't celebrate and be like that. So they said they didn't want to exchange gifts or greetings. Because you remember, there are certain religions even today, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They don't celebrate holidays.
Nope.
They don't celebrate any birthdays. Because they say in the Bible, it's forbidden. If you read part of the Bible, you're not supposed to do those things. So these are Puritans that would literally post notices everywhere forbidding any celebration of Christmas. And if you violated it, you were not only fined, but you could be in real trouble.
Okay, O'Reilly.
Puritans didn't play around.
Okay, O'Reilly.
So there you go. Christians.
There it is. And they were here before everybody.
Yep.
Okay.
Christians against Christians.
Okay, so what's your – you got 3 here to give us
You know, I was thinking earlier.
We
try not to think. But
I never think. I just do it.
Well, here's the way I was going to put it. Locally, we had our mayor.
You got 5 minutes.
Mac Corrupt.
5 minutes. You got 2 minutes.
Well, yeah. Mac Corrupt. He got elected.
Mac Corrupt?
Yeah, you know, Pat Corrupt. You know, Mac Corrupt? He got elected. Our mayor got elected governor of the state. And that was a profound disappointment because it transformed our state. So this was a matter of local and statewide, I'll say.
Yes.
That was a profound shift that damaged us beyond belief.
Boy, I was thinking the same thing.
And let me just give you one easy example. Now, this is an example I don't usually use, but I looked it up. We were rated in the top 5 every year. There's been a rating on CNBC and everywhere else. Top 5 for the quality top business states in America. North Carolina's been up there. Last year, we were 4 in the nation. But we've never fallen out of the top 5 until this year. And now we've already plummeted down into 14, 15, and they said we might be reached South Carolina 50. Levels by next year, which actually South Carolina's never been above the 30s. So that shows you direct, and this is business, not any kind of liberals are really upset or anything else. They have destroyed the environment, and the reason given was that the quality of life has plummeted so long, it kicked us out of the top 10 completely. So there you go. You know, elections have
you want quality of life? go get a job.
Yeah.
Go
well,
ahead.
Elections have actual impact, and we mentioned earlier, like they're trying to steal the airport from Charlotte. They're trying to, you know, punish the city and take away, you know. But on the upside of our local, we did retain our mayorship. We kept the city blue. And, you know, congratulations to Mayor Fox. He got up into the cabinet. You know, he went and joined Obama in Washington and became our secretary.
So we got, all right. Well,
so then I would also say just last thing on the state level that's really, really positive
yeah.
instead of all the negative. Yeah, you know, it brought out activity. It brought out a resurgence in common people, and we created moral Mondays that are now being picked up nationwide. So that's a fight back. That's a good positive. So we'll leave that. I think nationally, I really do. Even though you kind of downed on this, I think Snowden had an amazing impact. He's changed things worldwide. He's brought a lot of conversation. A lot of laws have changed.
He's changed
things.
He's
yeah.
made things
well,
visible.
Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Everybody, yeah, no, nothing's changed, but it is.
Nada. Because it's not important.
Well,
I tell you, nothing,
it is,
he has done nothing important. Again,
I think also
nothing.
We've had a profound change. We've had 20 states now have ratified gay marriage, and the Supreme Court itself found
okay.
that
we got 30 seconds.
Overturning gay marriage was wrong. So I give them that. And then I'll just say worldwide, I think Pope Francis rejuvenated the church and has changed the dynamic everywhere.
Well, I'll give you my I'm only going to give one each. I think the Supreme Review Board for Charlotte at the airport for Charlotte. I think statewide, the clown prince, Art Pope, who runs now, who is actually the actual governor, has made this state go down the tubes. And the signing the budget deal for the first time in 6 years. But I think Syria, President Obama keeping us out of Syria, keeping us out of Libya, not Libya, out of Iran, without a keeping us out of war there, and also his reelection. But top is the Pope.
True.
That's it. And I want to have everybody wish a happy, merry, thank you, Christmas, and have a great new year. And we're going out with one of my all-time favorites. Bye.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel. You're a monster, Mr. Grinch. Your heart's an empty hole. Your brain is full of spiders. You've got garlic in your soul, Mr. Grinch. I wouldn't touch you with a 39 and a half foot pole. You're a vile one, Mr. Grinch. You have termites in your smile. You have all the tender sweetness of a seasick crocodile, Mr. Grinch. Given the choice between the two of you, I'd take the seasick crocodile. You're a foul one, Mr. Grinch. You're a nasty, wasty skunk. Your heart is full of unwashed socks. Your soul is full of gunk, Mr. Grinch. The three words that best describe you are as follows, and I quote, stink, stank, stunk. You're a rotter, Mr. Grinch. You're the king of sinful thoughts. Your heart's a dead tomato splotch with moldy purple spots, Mr. Grinch. Your soul is an appalling dump heap, overflowing with the most disgraceful assortment of deplorable rubbish imaginable, mangled up in tangled up knots. you nauseate me, Mr. Grinch, with a nauseous super nos. You're a crooked, jerky jockey, and you drive a crooked hoss, Mr. Grinch. You're a three-decker sauerkraut and toadstool sandwich with arsenic sauce.